Let us pray. Lord God, you have given us all that we have. Show us how to use it to your glory. Show us how to not get stuck on the things that we own and to realize they are all from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so the commentaries and everything, they said, beware, there's so much in this material, so you don't want to just get some summer preacher or some seminary intern to preach this. So, there's so much. What does it mean to be rich toward God? What does that mean? That's intriguing. And what is fair? So we have this man comes up to Jesus, and Jesus has been talking about serious things, and he says, Jesus, it's not fair. Tell my brother to give me my fair share of my father's inheritance. Probably he was the younger brother, because in Leviticus we hear that the older brother received 2/3 of what his father owned, and the younger brother got 1/3. And I don't think this guy got anything, right? Jesus, I want it. Those things, that money, they belong to me. Tell my brother to share with me. Sounds like a lot of road trips in a car if you've had siblings, right? She's on my side. There's the line. It's not fair. Jesus won't get involved in his family squabble, but he starts talking about money and having a lot of wealth. Well, he tells this parable about a rich man who had a lot of land. And one year, he had such a good harvest, he could not even fit it into his storage barn. So, he has his plan. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build a bigger barn that can hold everything. All these good vegetables I've had, my new couch from Haverty's, my tomatoes, I'm going to can them all, and green beans, and corn, and collards. It's going to be awesome. And then I'm going to sit back in my new leather chair, and I'm going to relax and breathe something cold. It sounds like summertime, right? It sounds like a well-deserved break. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saving up your money so that later on you can use it? Well, nothing. Except in that day, most people did not have much land, and this man had a lot. And so his crops would have been needed by all the people there. And if he had most of the foodstuffs, well, then he could set the prices later on when they became hungry and needed something to eat. He could make the poor people pay even more for food. And in that day, resources were very scarce. The whole community needed to depend on each other. So the cheese maker made cheese, and everybody got cheese from that person. So if he was a big farmer, everybody depended on him for their food. But his food was stored up in barns, but they needed it. In that day, when one person was rich, you got rich by making another person poorer. So his hoarding of resources resulted in other people suffering. And what about how this man became rich? The rich man thought he was the reason for his wealth. He thought he did things well. He went to the farmer supply store, he used the right fertilizer and put the right bug spray on, and he did it by himself. I mean mine. But he was forgetting something very important, wasn't he? The rich man's crops grew well because God generously blessed his crops. But the rich man forgot all about God. He didn't thank God. He didn't even so much as bring an offering of the produce to the temple. He sat in his house and praised himself and talked to his own self about having a party. Eat, drink, and be merry. He's kind of quoting Isaiah 22, which the next line says, for then the next day you will die. So that's an irony there. But I wonder how much fun he would have throwing himself a party. I mean, if I have a party, I want people to come. I want people to eat dinner with me and drink drinks together and enjoy that fellowship. So I don't even know how he was going to have a party of one. I don't know. Jesus seems to say, because the rich man only thought about himself, he forgot what was most important, to love God with his whole heart, his whole mind, and his whole soul, and to care for his neighbor the same way he would care for himself. He wasn't doing that, was he? Jesus tells us, God took that man's life from him. Now how about us? If we get too absorbed in our own wealth, our own house, our own cars, thanks for getting a truck around, I'll never get a sports car now. Our clothes, our toys, our sports equipment, our vacations, our retirement investments, our savings, and I don't know about you, I can check off all of those. I'm pretty interested in those things. Will God take our life from us? I don't know, but so far I'm still here, and I can be pretty interested about how much money is in our retirement. So no, perhaps the parable is trying to tell us that all these things can be distractions from the main thing, which is to love and serve God by loving and serving our community, our city, and our world. There's plenty of things here we can get involved in and help people. Perhaps when we focus too much on I, me, mine, it's the same as if we were dead to God and to our neighbor. But we might still be breathing and taking up space and eating, but inside we could be dead, lifeless, useless creatures, separated from those purposes for which God created us, which is to glorify God, to use all our stuff, all that we have, to be rich toward God. That sounds holy and good, but what does that really mean, be rich toward God? How do you be rich towards God? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, not to mention the hills. So how do you be rich toward God? So this is Luke, so maybe we need to look at Luke, the rest of Luke, to see what he might mean. We might look for some examples of people who we might call rich toward God. Remember when we read about Mary, who chose to sit right there at Jesus' feet and listen to Jesus' wisdom. Just listen. Even though she was getting in trouble with her sister Martha, Jesus says to Martha, who was working for a good thing to make lunch for all the people, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things, but Mary has chosen the one good thing. It will not be taken from her. So finding time to just listen to God's word might be one way we can be rich toward God. And it can be an awesome time, can it? Just in your calm time, just to read the word and just kind of let it wash through you. Not be trying to count on, well, that's an idea. Why would you use that to defend myself? Just hear God's word. Let it come into you. Jesus tells his followers also, don't worry about things. Don't worry about your life, your food, your clothes, because your Heavenly Father knows you need these things. And he talks about our clothes especially. How about the lilies of the field? They don't go out shopping for garments. They are just beautiful. God made them beautiful. And even Solomon, with all his money, could not make a garment like a lily or a flower. So taking up our time worrying can keep us distracted and keep us away from being rich for God. And I have a thing that I do. I confess that it's the if only. If only this had happened, and if only that had happened, if only that other thing had happened, dot, 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 then everything would be right. I would have arrived. So it's not living in the moment, it's living in the could have been, could have, should have, would have. So when I was growing up, my dad borrowed this camper trailer, and we were going to go camping and not sleep on the ground, fold that thing out, and be in the mountains and be somewhat comfortable. Only this lady rear-ended us on the mountain. So we didn't get to go camping, and it was such a mess for my dad to get that camper repaired. He was going to get it just like it used to be. So I started talking about the day, If only we had left 5 minutes later, that lady wouldn't have been anywhere near us, and we wouldn't have been in a wreck. We'd be camping in the woods. That'd be good. Or if only we had stopped at that last stop 2 minutes longer, that lady would be gone, and this wouldn't have happened. Daddy said, who should have would have? It is what it is. But the man wasn't, if only. If only my bars were bigger, I'll make it happen, I'm rich. If only Mary would help me in the kitchen, Martha says. If only can keep us from living with God in the now and living with our neighbor in the now, which is where we are. Remember the parable in Luke about the Samaritan? We call him good, but in that day, they wouldn't have called the Samaritan good. Samaritans were looked down on, like the people on the wrong side of the railroad track. They intermarried, and they weren't pure Jews, and so they weren't really accepted by Jews at all. But this man was walking along the road, and he found a complete stranger lying in a ditch on the side of the road, half dead, beaten and robbed. So the Samaritan went over there and took care of this complete stranger with his own money. Now, I think he was poor that day in his pocketbook, but I think we could say he was rich toward God. Now, money is not evil, and money is not bad, but the way we feel about money and things that we have can tell us a lot about our issues of worry and control. Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves riches that moths and rust can corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves riches in heaven, treasures, for neither moth nor rust can corrupt, and thieves can never steal it. I think another way to be rich for God is through your time. Every day we wake up and we have a whole new day of promise in front of us. And I feel that each one of you has used that richness, the richness of your time and your life and your wisdom and your humor and your generosity to help build me, to help me be more confident, to help me be able to laugh at myself and my mistakes and to move on. And I've heard more than once, it is what it is. It is what it is. So I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. You will always be my first family. Amen. Amen.